Sacred silence, holy ocean, gentle waters washing over me. Help me listen, Holy Spirit, come and speak to me.
Hello, my friend. It's wonderful to take time again and continue a reflection on aspects of or deep unfolding of the practice of Lectio Divina. And I'm sort of caught in, struck by the richness of contemplation. Lectio leads us to or relates to meditatio, meditation, and our prayers, Latin word oratio, and then contemplation, meditation in a deepening sense of the radical, the rooted, the true unity that we all have, that already exists. It's just amazing what we're longing for already is. And that's part of the fun of it, the smile we might have on our faces when we think about, gee, you know, right now, everything is here for us. As I often share here with you, the ancient doxology closes with, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. So Lectio is used primarily as a in-depth reading of Holy Scripture, but in an extended way, it can be used for other profound books. This is our friend Robert Hale, Father Robert Hale speaking, and a little piece in the newsletter from New Commodity. He says it's a way of deeply engaging events of one's own life or the wondrous creation from God's hands. And talks about Thomas Merton would do a kind of Lectio Divina even on magnificent trees. So there's a beautiful sense of this, and as our contemporary language goes, it really is a 360 degree. It's not just a circle. It certainly isn't a line, but it's a spherical relationship with everything. This livelier, we might say spiral, we might be in a Teilhardian sense of this unfolding, rich God always with us, the Alpha and the Omega. And you and I are privileged to visit it and be visited by it, this profound loving God who abides in us. Merton, at a informal talk in New Delhi, barely a month before he died, closed a talk in this way. And so I stand among you as one who offers a small message of hope, that first there are always people who dare to seek on the edge and margins of society, who are not dependent on social acceptance, not dependent on social routine, and prefer a kind of free-floating existence under a state of risk. Among these people, if they are faithful to their own calling, to their own vocation, their own message from God, communication on the deepest level is possible. So I think that's something we all long for, and maybe while you're listening here, I'm trying to communicate something that's that really is beyond words. We're sitting in it, or we'd say it abides in us. Francis lets us know that it's in all wise people, the God who dwells within, who longs to dwell within us. Again, Francis says, create, prepare a place within yourself. So the movements of Lectio are the preparing of a place for that which always, the one who already is alive, abiding, living in us. The Jesus who says to Nicodemus as he was going to be passing through the town, sees this guy up in the tree and says, hey, come on down quickly. I'm going to have supper in your home tonight. This forethought, the awareness, the immediacy, the reality of the God who sups with us, breaks bread, maybe pizza, the immediacy of our day. So this communication is on a very deep level, a very practical practice, daily level, the deepest level that is possible, Merton says, and he continues, and the deepest level of communication is not communication, but communion. It's wordless, it's beyond words, and it is beyond speech. It is beyond concept, not that we discover a new unity. We discover an older unity. My dear brothers and sisters, we are already one. But we imagine that we are not. And what we have to recover is our original unity. What we have to be is what we are. I would suggest that you and I are on this wonderful journey of discovering an older, and we might hear then, recovering our original unity. And we imagine we are not. It's painfully true that a lot of our imaginations run in areas of destruction and divisiveness, what some people talk of as a dualism, oppositional thinking, binary thinking, which in some places in linear reality is helpful for distinguishing, but it unfortunately moves to divisiveness, and you and I live in a world full of that, it seems. But the deeper, richer fullness is what we're looking for in Lectio, in reading reality, in not only reading scriptures, but the movement of our day, or a magnificent tree, as Father Robert says of Thomas Merton, or you and I in the quiet of a moment, listening, and then when within listening is being attentive. So reading is also listening. It's leaving our senses open, and I've reflected on this so often here as we take time. This morning I woke before 4, and I got up, and I, among other things, lit a candle and put it outside in the dark, and I'm struck by how this one little flame illuminates the walls of the hermitage outside where I am. It allows me to see the beautiful dampness on the floor of the deck outside here. It dances, this little flame. I could dismiss it because I could say, gee, I need a bigger light to make my coffee this morning. That may or may not be true. The beautiful thing is that this flame is alive, and it lights you and me. And this flame, this apparently small flame, is the one that Nicodemus had within him. And it's abiding in us. And Jesus says, hey, come on down. Get out of wherever you are. Get out of yourself. and come to me. Don't live in that divided place where you might be now. So there's a unitiveness, a coming to original unity that is very much about contemplation. Because it is unity and community. It's dynamic. It's not an arrival. It's not like getting out of a plane or a train and stepping there with your luggage, now I'm here. It's in the middle and the end and the beginning of a journey, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. So that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Beautiful unfolding chapter 17 of John's Gospel. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may also be one as we are one. I suppose we could go two ways on these words, both mine and and even scriptures, and think, well, one, that's nice, and it's a great thought. Well, maybe leaving it there, it would be. But when we feel and experience divisiveness, our own with others, our unreconciled, unforgiven places, what might we do? Well, we find hope in the fact that we still, underneath it all, are one. It's practical, and it's about practice, about forgiveness and reaching out, about sitting as you might be now or walking, and letting it rise up in us, our original unity. It's this hope of seeing with the eye of our heart, seeing the one who abides in us, the one who prays to the Father, that we might be one as we are already one. To be attentive to this is one of the great movements in the liveliness of contemplation, And I invite you to take time with that now, to come down out of the tree. We have a disadvantage of not being able to see, but there's an advantage in that, and that is Jesus says, hey, come here. In the midst of our reading, he gives us eyesight. A candle's lit, and the darkness is dispelled. And he invites us to open our eyes to a new presence, the original one, the ancient, new to us now. The healing and forgiving, abiding presence of God within our very hearts and lives. It's an aspect of a journey to the heart of contemplation, the heart of Lexio, the spiral that moves out to the world, the sphere that moves and is always centered in the axis mundi, the axle of the world. We will call it the Christ, the anointed one of God, who anoints you and I right now with eyes that might see, that the eye of our heart might be opened, that we will come down out of the tree and have supper with Jesus, who wants to be in our home, our hearts, this very morning, afternoon, and night. Peace, my brothers and sisters. Peace, each of you, my friend. May we pray for each other and the world, which seems to be divided, terribly broken, almost hopelessly, until we hear again, Merton says, those who are on the margins of society, that's you and I right now, those who are quiet and are sitting or standing or walking somewhere, have hope in their hearts because they know and believe. We have a chance again to know that under and within communication, all longing to relate is relationship, is unity, is our oneness in God and with one another. The Lord give you peace. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still.
Eternal life.